Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. John the Baptist prophesied to come. In fact, when you look just a little bit farther in the book of Malachi over to chapter 4, listen to verses 5 and 6. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So he tells us there would be a forerunner to Christ, a prophet even as Elijah. And then the interesting thing is when you listen to Christ, he tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, and if you'll turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11, or you can just listen as I read the text to you, Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 on down through, you find Christ talking about John the Baptist being even that Elijah prophesied of in Malachi. Matthew 11, chapter 7, it says to us, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." John the Baptist who breaks that 400 years of silence. When you come down to verses 14 and 15, it says, "And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come." So we find the Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming to all those who would listen that this John the Baptist, who's going to break these 400 years of silence, he is the forerunner that came to tell Israel of the coming Messiah. He closes that 400 years of silence with the proclamation that Jesus Christ is come. For you and I, we look back in hindsight. We look back through the scriptures. We look back through the record of history. And we understand and believe that the Messiah was born. That he lived his life. He fulfilled his ministry. And then he died on the cross that all sins of mankind might be paid for. So that anybody at any time might by faith kneel at that same cross by faith and ask God to forgive them. And he would apply the greatest gift, the gift of the Savior, to the hearts of a needful man. So when we begin to think about Christ and the end of this 400 years of silence, we can't help but reflect on the amazing prophecies given throughout the Old Testament. Those prophecies that the Israelites were looking for and praying for to be fulfilled, those same prophecies that you and I look back to in our New Testament and see fulfilled. They go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, I want you to look with me there. And this is the beginning of those prophecies that let us know that Jesus Christ would come and do the ministry that he was called to do. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But I will put enmity between thee and the woman." And this is God speaking to Satan. He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here we find a messianic prophecy where God says to Satan, "I will be sure that through the seed of a woman there shall come one who shall wound you with a death wound to the head, and all you will do is wound his heel on the cross." So we find these prophecies that the Israelites read and saw and they prayed about and they hoped for. They didn't fully understand all because we have the gift of looking back and they were still trying to figure out the future. But these prophecies happened over and over again, given that they might know what to look for in the Christ. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we find the scriptures prophesying of the virgin birth. In Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it talks about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ child being born in Bethlehem. In Numbers 24, verses 17 through 19, you find the reference that talks about the star of Jacob that would shine. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 says, "The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" Because God wanted all mankind to know that the Messiah would be the very Son of God. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 lets us know that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 49, verse 6 tells us what every one of us needed to know, and that was that he would be a light unto the Gentiles. And while the Jews struggled to understand that at the time of the Messiah, the time of the birth of Christ, you and I today are gathered here because he is and was and will always be a light unto the Gentiles. Psalm chapter 40, verse 7 says, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart." Here we find the very Savior speaking in prophecy of how he would fulfill and obey the word of God. All of this has to do with his birth, his childhood. There are hundreds of more that deal with his ministry, his crucifixion, his second coming, his millennial reign, some of the things that even you and I still today are looking forward to. Christ prophesied of throughout the Old Testament. Then those silent 400 years. But at the birth of the Savior, the crescendo of the fulfillment of all those prophecies comes to pass. And all those in Israel, they wonder and they follow and they seek and they search. You find throughout the Gospels where people came out of the cities into the wilderness. They didn't even bring with them enough food. They wanted to come and know, is this the Christ? Is it the Messiah? Is he truly the Savior, the one prophesied of throughout the Old Testament? You and I today have the wondrous gift, the gift of the Scriptures, to where we can go and we can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we can see the entire life of Christ laid out for us from the manger all the way through to the ascension into heaven. We have that gift. We can go on into the book of Acts, and there we can find the Acts of the Apostles, where they take the ministry and work and sacrifice of Christ, and they bring it to all of you and I, the Gentiles throughout all the land, as well as the Jews. Then you go into the epistles, the writings of the apostles, and there you find our doctrines and our teachings that we embrace about our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you come to the last book. You come to the book of Revelation, and there it gives to us that blessed hope of looking into eternity and knowing that every single one of us, one day, he that is saved will stand before the reward seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, and he that has rejected Christ will go ahead and stand before the great judgment day. But then we are ushered into eternity. We are ushered into eternity based upon our relationship with that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, prophesied of in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New. No matter what age we live in, no matter what time we live in, no matter whether we are poor or rich, whether we're born in the bottom half of the world or the top half of the world, the message is the same. Jesus Christ came. After 400 years of silence out of the Old Testament, ushered in by John the Baptist, that great prophet, as he proclaimed a preparation message to the people, he said, come out into the wilderness, and here be baptized in repentance in preparation, for the time has come. And the people came. It tells us that even the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came and they gathered and they listened to what John had to say. Searching and seeking. Is truly the Messiah here? Is he coming? Is he coming? And when he came, John pointed and he said, there he is. I must decrease. He must increase. John transferred and pointed and said, you must follow him. And he faded back away because he was a prophet of what was to come. And Christ was what was to come. 400 years of silence broken by this great prophet, John the Baptist, that he might usher in the wonder of the miracle gift of Christ. You and I, we step back through history looking. But can you imagine at that time living it? The rumors that swirled throughout the countryside, throughout the land. History tells us that at the time of the birth of Christ, every mother would pray, every Jewish mother would pray that their daughter would be the bearer of the Messiah. It was such an ingrained part of their life. They were looking, they were watching. And then he came. And John proclaimed what all was hoping to come. Sadly, as much as the people were looking, Satan was waiting. And the scriptures teach us that he pulled a blanket of darkness, of delusion and confusion over the eyes of the people. And there were those who could not even see what was in front of their very eyes. Even though this greatest of prophets proclaimed the truth, even though the Messiah, the Savior, walked upon the very earth, even though they saw the miracles he did before their very eyes, still there were many who did not believe. And it is an amazing thing how that when we choose to close our eyes, we cannot see even what is right in front of us. And that still goes on today, doesn't it? There are those who refuse to see the Christ as anything but a babe in a manger. They will never see him as the bearer of salvation. They merely see him as a child. There are so many who neglect to see the power of Christ in hearts and lives of individuals. They choose to be blinded to that. And I implore you this morning, be sure that you look past all the celebration and see the significance of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the gift of God to all mankind, that each and every one of us might have eternal life in him. Today we celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come as the shepherds to see the miracle of God. We come as Simeon and Anna came to the temple to worship the Messiah. We come as the wise men came, seeking the wisdom of God. And you and I still today, we come as the apostles, desiring to follow and to serve. And we, through a long line of heritage, come as the disciples, willing to seek the salvation that God has offered. All that you have in the Gospels, all that is laid out for us concerning the birth of the Savior. Still, you and I today, we embrace that, and it is a part of our lives. And if we have Christ within our heart, if His Spirit dwells within our soul, then we are drawn to Him and wooed to Him in a miraculous and powerful way. We celebrate Christmas not because it's a great big party time, but because it's the reverence, the honor, the wonder of the birth of our Savior. Now, that's not to say we don't enjoy getting together with our friends and our families and celebrating on more of an earthly term. But always there for the believer, the child of God, is the wonder and the miracle of Christ. And I would hope that you feel within your heart a drawing to share that truth with others. That it's not just about gifts and candy and trees and Santas, but it is about the power of salvation, prophesied throughout the ages, prepared for. And then when John came and proclaimed, and he pointed, and he said, there he is. There he is, the Christ, God with us. And as I mentioned ago, we continue to come. We come as those shepherds, as Simeon and Anna at the temple, who had come to look for and wait for and to worship the Savior. Even as those wise men, and even as those apostles, and yet still today, even as the disciples, we have one heart's desire, and that is to come and know the Christ. Every preacher who truly knows the Savior has one desire, that you might see Christ. Every parent who's born again, a child of God, they want to pass to their children the gift of seeing and knowing Christ within their hearts and in their lives. Not just as a babe, but as God with us, the Savior of all mankind. I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of the service. And as your head is bowed this morning and as you look in your heart, I just ask you a very simple question. Who have you come to see this morning? Have you come to see a friend? A neighbor? Or have you come to see Christ? Years of silence broken because the greatest gift that could ever be given was there that day in the manger. 400 years of silence broken because God wanted all to know the price had been brought forth. The Savior, the Messiah, God with us. This morning, as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, do you know Him? For He beckons to each and every one of us, come, come unto Me. Father in heaven, as we come into this invitation time, I pray for Your Spirit to stir our souls. Help each one of us to listen to the message of John, that we might prepare ourselves, that we ourselves might be repentant and willing to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross. Lord, we pray for Your Spirit to beckon us and woo us to a closer walk with You, that we may be as the disciples of long time past, committed, dedicated, sold out to our Savior. Even as the apostles, willing to lay their lives on the line that they might proclaim the truth. Help us, Lord, to be bold in our faith. For you left heaven above to take upon yourself the shape, the form of a man born of a virgin. You suffered the humiliation of this world and the cruelty of its death, all to pay for our sins. Lord, help us this morning to come before you humbly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.